This episode of The Y-Files is brought to you by Delete Me. You wake up floating 3 feet above your bed. Your phone, your keys, your furniture, all drifting around the room like you're underwater. Outside, cars lift off the highway. Trees pull out of the ground, roots and all. People grab anything bolted down. You have 7 seconds. That's how long Earth's gravity will be offline. After that, it comes back. Everything falls, including the 850 million people who didn't grab hold of something in time. According to a leaked government document, this happens on August 12, 2026. NASA calls it Project Anchor, and they've known about it since 2019. And if you haven't heard this story, you better strap in.
It's finally happening!
What's happening?
I'm getting fan mail!
Fan mail.
Oh, yeah! The people are hungry for me. Starving, even. Listen to this. Dear Hecklefish, I've been thinking about you a lot. Mostly with butter and capers. Culinary fan. Very classy. Dear Hecklefish, do you go better with red or white wine? Oh, sophisticated. Probably a sommelier.
No, I don't...
Hey, Hecklefish, I know where you live. I see, devoted. It takes time to get to know me.
That's a threat.
No. Look, this one reads, Hecklefish, do you scream when the oil's hot, or is it more of a quiet thing? That was a little confusing. Hot oil? He must be a masseuse, huh?
Yeah, I don't think...
Dear Hecklefish, have you ever been beer battered? I'm a spa enthusiast. I love the dedication to skincare.
I don't think you understand. Read another one.
Gladly. No, this one's handwritten. That's extra special. Dear Hecklefish, I've been practicing how fast I can flush a goldfish down a standard toilet. Turns out it's quicker than you think. Okay, that felt a little personal. How do all these people know where I live?
Because all your info is online.
Fan club online.
Remember that questionnaire you filled out?
Sure. Are you eligible for a reality show?
Right. You gave them all your information.
I assume they needed my info for merchandising. You can't sell Hecklefish merch without Hecklefish's biometric data, can you?
It sounds like you really need Delete Me.
Oh, did you just dip me in egg wash and panko breadcrumb me into today's sponsor?
I sure did. Your personal data is being collected and sold by data brokers who list your name, phone number, address, and even relatives online, exposing you to scams, harassment, and doxing. That's why I use Delete Me, a hands-free service that removes your information from hundreds of data brokers and people search sites. And they get to work fast. Within 7 days, you get a privacy report showing exactly what they found and removed, like old addresses and phone numbers. But Delete Me doesn't stop there. They continuously remove your data using their own tech, not outsourcing to third parties, so your data stays safe. And if you need extra help, Delete Me has real privacy advisors who handle custom requests. I signed up after receiving messages that referenced an old address of mine. Delete Me found my data, removed it, and showed me everything they took down, which was a huge relief, especially knowing they've been named Wirecutter's number one data removal service. Get 20% off Delete Me when you go to joindeleteme.com/theyfiles and use promo code theyfiles or scan the QR code on screen.
So Delete Me helps get rid of my personal information that's online.
That's the idea.
Good. Do they handle things I did back when dignity was optional? I hope nobody Googles Hecklefish Uncut Deluxe Package.
In December 2025, a document started circulating on encrypted channels. The header read, Project Anchor Gravitational Discontinuity Event Executive Summary. The document was marked classified at a level above top secret. It described a global emergency program with an $89 billion budget and one terrifying purpose, preparing humanity for a moment when Earth's gravity would temporarily cease to exist. The date was precise, August 12, 2026, 1433 UTC. For about 7 seconds, the gravitational force holding everything to the planet would drop to zero. And according to the document, NASA identified this threat in 2019. Deep space monitoring stations detected two gravitational wave signatures converging. These waves come from merging black holes a billion light years away. And when they intersect near Earth's orbital position in August 2026, the interference pattern will briefly cancel out our planet's gravitational field. The probability assessment in the document was 94.7%. That's not speculation, that's a certainty. Dr. Thomas Webb noticed the anomaly at 2:47 a.m. LIGO had detected gravitational waves before, ripples in space-time from black hole collisions billions of light years away. By the time these waves reached Earth, they were faint, barely detectable. Interesting to physicists, invisible to everyone else. This wave was different. Two black holes had collided 1.3 billion years ago. The resulting gravitational wave had been traveling toward Earth ever since. That part was normal. But LIGO's sensors showed something unusual in the wave's path. A dark matter filament 800 light years long. The wave had passed through it like light through a magnifying glass. Focused, amplified, aimed directly at Earth. Webb checked the path again. The wave would reach Earth on August 12th. He ran the amplitude calculations three times. For 7 seconds, everything on the surface of the planet would be weightless. He sent his findings to Dr. Minji Park, his former graduate advisor at MIT. She was the only person he trusted to check his math. Park didn't respond.
Minji, I really need you to call me back.
2 days later, Webb's paper was retracted. His data access was suspended. His university placed him on administrative leave. On February 14th, Thomas Webb walked out of his apartment. His car was found 3 days later at a rest stop in New Mexico. Engine still running. Thomas Webb was never seen again. Dr. Park received a flash drive a week later, no return address. She opened it, ran the calculations, and understood why Tom sounded so paranoid. She copied everything to three separate servers. Then she started making phone calls. And within 48 hours, Dr. Park would be dead.
If you're reading this, I was right. August 12th, 1433 UTC. Get underground. Hold on to something they've known for years. TW.
Project Anchor document outlined four emergency protocols. Protocol Alpha, no public disclosure. If 8 billion people knew gravity would shut off, society would collapse within weeks. Bank runs, mass panic, and a complete breakdown of supply chains. Protocol Beta, deep underground facilities. Since 2020, governments quietly expanded their bunker networks. NORAD, Mount Weather, Cheyenne Mountain, plus dozens of classified sites that don't appear on any map.
Yeah. 2020. Interesting timing.
Don't.
Lockdowns, everyone stuck at home. Meanwhile, they're digging bunkers. That's not a coincidence. That's a construction schedule.
Protocol Gamma, tethering systems. Critical infrastructure like hospitals, nuclear plants, military installations, all retrofit with massive anchoring cables disguised as normal construction. And Protocol Delta, population prioritization. Between 800 and 900 million deaths worldwide, mostly in poor countries. The document calls them acceptable losses.
Acceptable losses. That's how I describe my three marriages.
The whistleblower who released the document didn't provide their name, just a single statement. They're not going to tell you. You deserve to know. Within days, the document spread across Signal, Telegram, X, and private message boards. Some called it a hoax, but others noticed details that seemed too specific to be fabricated. The coordinate calculations matched actual gravitational wave detection data from LIGO. The budget figures aligned with unexplained increases in NASA's classified spending. And then there was the date itself, August 12th, 2026, the same day as a total solar eclipse visible across the Northern Hemisphere, the first in almost 30 years. Coincidence? Maybe, but civilizations throughout history have associated eclipses with catastrophic events, and NASA has never been honest about what it knows. The theory spread. Survival channels posted anchor protocols. Reddit had calculations for optimal tethering locations. People bought heavy furniture, installed ceiling anchors, mapped which rooms in their homes had the most structural attachment points. 7 seconds doesn't sound like much. Grab hold of something, stay indoors, wait for the anomaly to pass. But there's one detail people aren't talking about. 7 seconds is plenty of time for Earth's atmosphere to disappear into space. The announcement came at 6 p.m. Eastern, 18 hours before impact. Not enough time to prepare, but just enough time to panic.
NASA has issued an unprecedented warning. They're using the term gravitational anomaly.
Gravitational anomaly.
Anomaly. The event is expected tomorrow at 10:33 a.m. Eastern. Duration, approximately 7 seconds.
7 seconds. But they didn't explain what 7 seconds without gravity would even mean. Colonel Raymond Price stood in the operations center at Mount Weather, watching 47 monitors. Each showed a different city, and each showed chaos.
Where are we with intake?
42,000 confirmed for intake, sir. Bunker's almost at capacity.
Price stared at the screens, highways clogged, stores emptied, people fighting over bottled water that it wouldn't matter in 18 hours. The bunker's gravity stabilizers hummed beneath his feet, experimental technology classified since the 1960s. Inside Mount Weather, gravity would stay normal no matter what happened outside.
Close the hatches at 0600.
Sir, we still have families en route.
0600.
Your brother's convoy is 6 hours out.
No exceptions. We can't save everyone.
Price pulled up the intake list on his tablet, scrolled until he found his brother's name. His thumb hovered over it. He thought about Michael's kids, his niece who wanted to be an astronaut, his nephew who was afraid of the dark. Price deleted the name.
42,000 is what we can sustain. Everyone else?
He didn't finish the sentence. He didn't need to. He already knew the answer.
I'm sorry, sir. This is a restricted area.
My name is Michael Price. My brother is Colonel Ray Price.
I've got a Michael Price out front requesting entry. He says he's your brother.
No exceptions, Sergeant.
But, sir, his ID checks out.
Hatches are sealed.
Sergeant, we're locked down.
I understand, sir.
Every physicist in history has tried to answer the same question. What is gravity? Isaac Newton figured out how it behaves. In 1687, he published the laws of universal gravitation. Every object with mass attracts every other object with mass. The bigger the mass, the stronger the pull. The farther apart, the weaker the pull. Simple math. It works for planets, cannonballs, and feathers. But Newton had no idea why it worked. He admitted this freely. Gravity was an invisible force acting across empty space with no mechanism to explain it. He said he'd leave the explanation to future generations. That was over 300 years ago. Albert Einstein took the next step in 1915. His general theory of relativity redefined gravity. Mass warps space-time. That warping or bending of space-time is gravity. Think of a bowling ball on a trampoline. The ball creates a depression. Anything rolling nearby curves toward it. Not because the ball is pulling, because the surface is bent. Planets orbit the sun because the sun's mass has curved space-time into a shape where orbiting is the natural path. They're just following the geometry. Einstein's equations work perfectly. They predict planetary motion, the bending of light around stars, and the way time runs slower in stronger gravitational fields. GPS satellites have to be constantly adjusted for time dilation, or they'd be off by miles.
Hold on, hold on. Time moves slower near heavy things?
Yep, it's been proven.
So if I gained enough weight, I could live longer?
Yeah, that's not how
Finally, a scientific justification for excessive pizza consumption. Oh, Einstein, you magnificent bastard.
But Einstein's equations describe how gravity behaves. They don't explain what gravity actually is. Because the truth is, nobody knows. Carlos Ramirez was driving his daughter Sophia to school when his phone buzzed. Then the car radio cut to an emergency broadcast.
This is not a drill. Gravitational disruption imminent. Seek shelter immediately. Lie flat. Hold on to secured objects. This is not a drill.
Carlos was on the freeway. Concrete and steel everywhere. No basement. No shelter. His 8-year-old daughter was asking why the radio sounded scared. He pulled under an overpass. At 10:33 and 0 seconds, Carlos felt his stomach drop, like the first hill of a roller coaster that never ended. Then the car rose. 1 foot, 5 foot, 10 feet. Everything was floating. Cars, trees, people who'd stepped outside to look at the sky. He wrapped his arms around Sophia.
Hold on to me. Whatever happens, don't let go.
1 second. 2 seconds. 3 seconds. 4 seconds. 5 seconds. 6 seconds. 7 seconds. Then the world remembered which way was down. Somewhere, Sophia was crying, but crying meant alive. Carlos kicked out the shattered window and pulled his daughter out of the wreck. The city looked like a war zone. Overturned vehicles everywhere, bodies on the pavement, people stumbling through smoke calling names. He grabbed Sophia's hand and started walking. To where, he didn't know, just away. Away from the fires, away from the screaming. Away from the sound of a world breaking apart. Every force in nature has a carrier particle. Electromagnetism uses photons. The strong nuclear force uses gluons. The weak force uses W and Z bosons. These particles physically carry the force from one place to another. Gravity should have a carrier particle too. Physicists call it the graviton, but the graviton has never been detected, not even once. Freeman Dyson calculated that equipment sensitive enough to find a single graviton would need to be so massive it would collapse into a black hole before it could make a measurement. Then there's another mystery. Gravity is weak, extremely weak. It's 10 to the 40th power weaker than electromagnetism. That's a 1 with 40 zeros after it. Want to see how weak gravity is? Pick up a paperclip with a small magnet. That tiny magnet is overpowering the gravitational pull of the entire Earth. Physicists call this the hierarchy problem. Why is gravity so different from other forces? We don't know. What we do know is that gravity varies slightly across Earth's surface. Hudson Bay in Canada has a gravitational anomaly. Objects there weigh about 0.004% less than normal.
Less gravity in Canada, huh? That explains curling. They're basically cheating.
The Indian Ocean has a geoid low, where sea level is 106 meters lower than the global average. These aren't gravity turning off. They're mass distribution effects. Less rock beneath those areas means less gravitational pull. But they prove something important. Earth's gravitational field is not uniform. It can be stronger in some places and weaker in others. That raises a disturbing question. If gravity can naturally vary, even by tiny amounts, could it be artificially manipulated? Well, the US government thinks it can. The military has been investigating this question for almost 100 years. classified reports from Lockheed, Boeing, and the DOD all reference the same goal, gravity control. And whoever controls gravity controls the world. Then gravity came back, but not all of it.
Scientists have confirmed that Earth's gravitational field has stabilized at approximately 58% of pre-event levels.
About half of normal gravity. The long-term effects on human biology remain unknown.
The human body evolved for Earth's gravity. Every system depends on it. Infants born after the event have soft bones, enlarged skulls. Most don't survive past age 2. The ones who do are so fragile that a fall from standing height can kill them.
How long can they survive at 58%?
Unknown, sir. Medical teams are still assessing.
Where does that leave us?
340 million dead from the initial event. Another 90 million from secondary effects.
Such as?
High altitude asphyxiation added another 180 million.
The atmosphere had expanded. Less gravity meant air molecules spread farther apart. At sea level, you could breathe. Above 6,000 feet, you couldn't. Denver was a death trap. So was Mexico City, La Paz, Bogota, Addis Ababa. Every city built in the mountains became a mass grave. Bodies lined the highways leading down from Denver, thousands of them. Families who packed everything they could carry and started walking. Some made it 10 miles, some made it 20. Some just sat down to rest and never got up. The oceans rose during that 7 seconds, and when they came back as waves. Survivors went inland. Tent cities sprouted across the desert and Midwest, anywhere flat and below 5,000 feet. Millions of people crammed into spaces built for thousands. There wasn't time to bury the dead properly. There wasn't time for anything proper. Parking lots became cemeteries. Carlos found Settlement 17 3 months after the event. He walked 200 miles with Sophia on his back. They'd almost died twice, but they'd made it. Carlos had been an industrial welder before the event, just another skilled laborer. Now he was something more valuable. A man who could fix things. The settlement needed water pumps rebuilt, solar panels mounted, structures reinforced. Then the scientists made another discovery.
The field holding our gravity at 58% isn't forever. It's going to stop.
What happens when it stops?
It snaps back to 100%. Instantaneously.
When is that supposed to happen?
Based on current decay rates, 8 years, maybe sooner.
Scientists are calling it the snapback. Anyone still adapted to 58% gravity when it occurs will experience immediate cardiovascular failure.
The survival rate for unadapted humans is estimated at 0.
I have to take a look at the filtration system. I'll only be gone a few hours. Stay with the Burks until I get back.
We're gonna be okay. I promise.
He didn't know if that was true. But promises to your daughter were not optional. Thomas Townsend Brown spent his 16th birthday in his parents' basement watching an X-ray tube hover. Not float. Hover, like something was supporting it. Most kids wanted cars. Brown wanted to break physics. The tube was supposed to just produce X-rays, but Brown noticed something strange. When he applied a high voltage to certain materials, they moved. Not much, just a tiny thrust, but thrust without fuel, without exhaust, without any visible means of propulsion. He spent the next decade refining the effect. He called it electrogravitics. The idea was simple. High-voltage electrical fields could somehow couple with gravity, producing thrust toward the positive electrode. By the 1950s, Brown had caught the attention of the U.S. military. Classified reports from 1956 show that major aerospace companies were investigating his work. Douglas Aircraft, Glenn Martin, General Electric, Bell Aircraft, Convair, Lear, Sperry Rand. All of them had electrogravitics programs. An Aviation Week article from that year reported that the industry was treating gravity control as a problem in physics where elementary breakthrough could be imminent. Then, everything went dark. After 1956, no more public papers, no more conferences, no more news articles. The entire field disappeared from view. But T. Townsend Brown kept working, but only on classified contracts. He died in 1985, and his research was never released, at least not to the public. But in classified programs, his work continued. In 1992, Russian physicist Eugene Podkletnov made headlines. He claimed that a rotating superconducting disk could reduce the weight of objects above it by about 2%. The paper was submitted to a peer-reviewed journal. His co-author saw the data and signed off. Then the story broke in the Sunday Telegraph. The headline read, "World's First Anti-Gravity Device." The university panicked. Podkletnov's co-author withdrew his name. The paper was pulled. Podkletnov lost his position. By 2001, he was describing an impulse gravity generator that could knock down objects from a mile away. No missile, no projectile. A beam of gravitational force. Now, multiple institutions tried to replicate his results, but none succeeded. But Podkletnov's equipment worked, and nobody can explain why. Then there's the case of Dr. Ning Li. She was a Chinese-American physicist at the University of Alabama in Huntsville. In the 1990s, she published papers on rotating ions and superconductors that created gravitometric fields. NASA funded her early research. In 2001, she received a $450,000 grant from the Department of Defense. Then she founded a company called AC Gravity LLC, and she obtained top-secret security clearance. But after 2002, Dr. Ning Li stopped publishing. No papers, no conferences, no public statements. When journalists tried to contact her, she refused to speak. Then she disappeared. Literally, nobody knew where she went. But 12 years later, she was back. But soon after returning, she was hit by a car that caused permanent brain damage. She died in July 2021. Her research has never been released. Her whereabouts for those 12 years remain unknown, at least unknown to the public. But there are people who say they do know where she was. She was working at a secure facility somewhere in the desert, trying to figure out how UFOs fly. Colonel Price hadn't slept in 3 days. The Bunker Council had rejected his proposal unanimously.
There are still billions of people on the surface, children who've never felt normal gravity. When the snapback hits...
Colonel, we have 340 generators in reserve. Each one represents the future of this facility. We cannot risk our survival for people who may already be beyond saving.
The gravity stabilizers in storage, 340 units, were reserved for bunker expansion, for their children, for preservation. Price nodded along and said he understood. Then he started searching the classified archives. He was looking for technical specifications, power requirements, deployment protocols. He found something else. A folder marked WebT, prediction model, credible, dated 18 months before the public announcement. They'd known for over a year. The bunkers were already being stocked when Webb's paper was retracted, when his accounts were frozen, when he disappeared. Price opened another file. Dr. Minji Park, MIT, Webb's former advisor, killed in a car accident 2 weeks after the event. Single vehicle, no witnesses. Price closed the files. He pulled up a feed from a surveillance drone. It showed Settlement 17 in what used to be Nevada. He saw two people in the crowd. a man working on an old water filter, a girl sitting nearby holding a stuffed toy. The girl would probably die in 5 years, her bones would shatter, and her father's heart would likely fail, unless they had gravity stabilizers. The stabilizers couldn't save them from the snapback directly, but they could gradually increase gravity over time, 60% 1 month, 65% the next, and give their bodies time to readapt. 5 years wasn't enough time, but it was all they had.
This is Colonel Raymond Price, Mount Weather Emergency Operations. I am authorizing surface deployment of 340 gravity stabilization units. I accept full responsibility. The Council made me complicit in the murder of Thomas Webb, Minji Park, and countless others.
They will not make me complicit in millions more.
Price walked out of Mount Weather at dawn, but he wasn't alone. In 1989, Bob Lazar went on Las Vegas television and claimed he'd worked at a facility called S4 near Area 51 in the Nevada desert. He said he helped reverse engineer alien spacecraft. Lazar said the propulsion system used element 115 to generate gravity A waves. These waves could bend spacetime, creating the effect of falling toward a target. No rockets, no combustion, just gravitational manipulation. Lazar was dismissed as a fraud. There was no such thing as element 115. Until there was. It was synthesized in 2003 and named Muscovium.
Wait. Lazar said there was an element that didn't exist, and then 14 years later, it did?
Yes, but their version decays in a fraction of a second.
Their version. It's alien technology, and they're doing it wrong.
Yeah, that's not how that works.
If I built a car that exploded every time I turned it on, I wouldn't say cars don't work. I'd say I'm a bad mechanic.
Believe Lazar or don't.
Believe.
But in 2004, Navy pilots off the USS Nimitz encountered an object that moved exactly the way Lazar described. It dropped from 80,000 feet to sea level in less than a second, over 12,000 G-forces. No human pilot could survive that. No conventional aircraft could either. The object had no wings, no exhaust, no heat signature. It traveled at supersonic speeds with no sonic boom. It didn't displace air or water. It moved in its own localized space where the rules of physics didn't seem to apply. And these objects have been documented by multiple sensor systems, recorded by trained military observers, and verified by the Pentagon. Whatever they are manipulating gravity. So someone somewhere has figured out how. That was a major piece of the Project Anchor document. But Project Anchor wasn't created to study gravitational anomalies. It was created to control them. The snapback came on a Tuesday morning. At 10:17, the gravitational constant jumped to 100, all at once. The generators worked. Not all of them. Generator 127 failed in former Phoenix. 47,000 people, an entire settlement, died in less than a second. Generator 203 in a Canadian settlement went down 3 days before the snapback. Repair would take 4 days. Five engineers volunteered to stay. They worked outside the generator field for 36 hours straight. They fixed it with 9 hours to spare. All five died when gravity returned. Their hearts gave out within seconds. But 12,000 people survived because of them. And the other 338 generators held. Inside the generator zones, people felt it. Like stepping onto land after months at sea, or like someone had dropped a lead blanket over your shoulders. Legs felt heavy, breathing got harder, but they were breathing. Their hearts kept beating, their bones held. Outside the zones, the gravity change was violent. Double the weight applied to every cell, every organ, every bone in a split second. 600 million people died that morning, most of them in the first 3 seconds. The rest in the minute after, as damaged hearts failed and weakened bones gave out. The people in the generator zones heard it on the radio. They watched it on whatever screens still worked. They understood what Colonel Price had saved them from and what it cost him to do it. He'd spent years outside the bunker, personally overseeing deployment. His body had been at surface gravity levels the entire time. When the snapback hit, he was calibrating generator 338 at settlement 17. He got it working, then his heart gave out. Project Anchor is zooming around the internet, terrifying everybody. And today we saw why. Losing gravity, even for a few seconds, would be a disaster. So, should you be afraid? Should you start buying ceiling anchors and cables? No. Project Anchor is a hoax. The leaked document first appeared on TikTok and Instagram in late December 2025, and it's pure fiction. There's no $89 billion program. There's no 94.7 probability calculation. NASA has never monitored gravitational waves that could intersect near Earth. That's not how gravitational waves even work. They're ripples in space-time itself, not beams that can collide. But the story went so viral that NASA was forced to issue a public statement.
Earth will not lose gravity for 7 seconds on August 12, 2026, or any other time for that matter. The only way Earth could suddenly lose its gravity would be if the planet suddenly lost its mass.
Did NASA pinky promise? Because their track record isn't great.
Yeah, fair enough, but I think NASA's right about this one.
Human, if you believe NASA's press releases, I got a moon landing to sell you.
The date was chosen because there's a real total solar eclipse that day. Doomsday hoaxes have always attached themselves to eclipses, and this one is no different. But here's where things get interesting. We genuinely don't know what gravity is. Einstein's equations describe its behavior perfectly, but they don't explain its mechanism. The graviton has never been detected. This is a giant gap in physics. As for anti-gravity research, that's real, and the history is dark. T. Townsend Brown's electrogravitics research was classified in 1956. Dr. Ning Li got DoD funding, got top secret clearance, and never published again until her death in 2021. Boeing, Lockheed, and the British Military of Defense all spent money investigating gravity control. Every one of these programs is classified. But if they found nothing, why classify nothing for 70 years? Why not just say it doesn't work and release the research? Because if anti-gravity works, it's the most powerful weapons platform ever conceived. Silent propulsion, instant acceleration, payloads delivered anywhere on Earth without detection. The country that cracks anti-gravity doesn't just win wars, it makes war obsolete. Well, obsolete for everyone else. And that's worth killing for. And that's worth hiding forever. And if it also leads to free energy, zero-point vacuum extraction, whatever you want to call it, you're not just talking about military advantage. You're talking about the collapse of the energy economy. Trillions of dollars a year gone. The people who control that money have direct lines to the intelligence agencies. They don't want any disruption. Scientists who cooperate get absorbed into classified programs. Scientists who don't, they get discredited, or they have accidents. Project Anchor isn't real, but anti-gravity research is. But it's gonna stay secret. If free energy and anti-gravity technology were available to everyone on Earth, our entire species would take a great leap forward. With this technology, poor nations could easily be modernized. Countries that depend on foreign energy could be self-sufficient and independent. Wars for energy, which is the reason for every war, would be meaningless. This future would be good for everyone on Earth, but it would be bad for business. The memorial wall near Settlement 17 stretches for a quarter mile. Names etched in concrete, hundreds of thousands of them. A young woman walks along the wall until she finds a name. She doesn't cry, she just observes, the way her father taught her to when the work was done. She turns and walks back toward the settlement. There is a filtration unit that needs repair, solar panels to mount, structures to reinforce. The world is different now, but it's still here. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today. My name is AJ, that's Echofish.
Remember, if NASA says don't worry, worry twice as much.
This has been The Y-Files. If you had fun, do us a favor, like, subscribe, comment, share. That stuff really helps out the channel. Like most topics we cover on the channel, today's was recommended by you, by a lot of you, because this one is very viral right now. So if there's a story you'd like to see covered, go to theyfiles.com/tips, catch us on Discord, email team@theyfiles.com, or open a post on our official Reddit. That's the best way to get a hold of us. Remember, The Y-Files is also a podcast. Everything you see here, you can take on the road. I also post episodes that wouldn't be allowed on video platforms. It's called The Y-Files Operation Podcast, and it's available everywhere. And if you are listening on an audio platform, do us a favor, hit the buttons, the thumbs up, and the follow. That stuff really does help. If you need more Y-Files in your life, check out our Discord. We've got about 100,000 members on there, so 24/7, there's someone hanging out, talking about the same weird stuff we do here. It's a great community, it's really supportive, it's a lot of fun, and it's free to join. And speaking of 24/7, check out our 24/7 stream on the Y-Files Backstage. There we post episodes back-to-back with a lot of fun content in between. And the chat is hysterical. Now keep your eye out for the new show, The Basement, that I'm launching in just a couple of weeks, where I sit down with the actual people behind these stories. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. If you like the show, you'll probably like The Basement. If you don't like the show, you won't like The Basement at all. We'll find out in a few weeks. Special thanks to our patrons who make this channel possible. Every episode of The Y-Files is dedicated to our Patreon members because they've supported me since the beginning, and I couldn't have done any of this without Patreon support. So thank you. And if you'd like to join this amazing community, keep us moving forward, become a member on Patreon. It's only $3 a month. You get access to perks like videos early with no commercials, access to merch before anybody else, and access to merch that nobody else can even get. Plus, you get 2 private live streams every week just for you. And on those, I have my webcam on. Plus, you get to meet the whole team. And you can turn on your camera, jump up on stage, ask a question. Do you want to learn more about a topic or just talk to us as people? I think it's the best perk there is. Another great way to support the channel is grab something for the Y-Files store.
Grab a Hecklish t-shirt or one of these fistable coffee mugs that you can stick your fist in. No matter what the gravity is, your fist will slide right in. Or get a hoodie or set my face on it. Or get one of these adorable squeeze. Oh, I can't even take it. These adorable squeezy Hecklish talking doll toys.
But if you're going to buy merch, make sure you become a member on YouTube, because YouTube members get 10% off everything in the Y-Files store forever for only $3.
Yeah, keep that secret close to your dorsal fin, eh?
Those are the plugs, and that's going to do it. Until next time, be safe, be kind, and know that you are appreciated.
In Area 51, a secret code inside the Bible said I was. I love my UFOs and paranormal fun, as well as music, so I'm singing it like I should. But then another conspiracy theory becomes the truth, my friends, and it never ends. No, it never ends. I got stuck inside Mel's home with MK Ultra. I've been only too aware. Did Stanley Kubrick fake the moon landing alone on a film set? Or were the shadow people there? The Roswell aliens just fought the smiling man, I'm told. And his name was Cold. And I can't believe I'm dancing with the
and the solar storm still come to a god that the secret city underground. Mysterious number stations, planet Serpo 2, Project Stargate, and what the Dark Watchers found. In a simulation, don't you worry though, the Black Knight satellite, it told me so. I can't believe I'm dancing with the fish. Heck of fish on Thursday nights with AJ2 and